This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, I'm talking to HS Chung, the cluster lead for the global PR agency, Hill & Knowlton Strategies. HS, thank you for joining us and thank you for taking our call from Korea. Now, obviously, Malaysia is seeing some kind of sea change with its, with your organization having merged with Lumos PR. But our viewpoint is really regional. And how do you see the changing landscape of communications in a digital era?
Good morning. So not just in digital era, but overall as a economic importance of the ASEAN ASEAN society, we feel Malaysia is in a different dynamics. This is why we have actually integrated with a local firm called Lumos PR and have debuted as Lumos Hill & Knowlton Strategies in Malaysia last week. One of the biggest biggest reason behind the integration is obviously looking at Malaysia in a different dynamic, as said. And one finding that we are seeing is the evolving Chinese clients, so Chinese businesses setting up their hub office based in Malaysia for their communication work across ASEAN countries and markets. So to be able to service such evolving business, we felt it was important to, first of all, build the scale of our people in terms of number of people who's able to service the clients, and also to be able to provide a diversity of the talent that is required for such help function.
What does Hill & Knowlton have that enables it to win business from the Chinese subcontinent?
Well, interestingly, we actually have been servicing many of the Asian, including Korean and also Chinese and even Japanese clients going global for the past decade. So this is something that's not just happening now, but we have built and accumulated our experience over the years. So we feel it's very, very valuable that such experience actually is in our network experience.
And which organization, in which organizations in particular, HS, have you been servicing from the Chinese subcontinent?
We have been working for some of the top ones. So if I can be specific to Malaysia and countries in Asia, we are obviously servicing Huawei, Honor, and also Tencent. And then from when it comes to the Korean clients, we have been servicing LG Electronics for the past 10 years.
Okay, so obviously the technology and the telecommunications industries. You know, just to shed some light and get a little bit granular on the needs of these industries and these companies, what kind of communication strategies do you have in mind to be deployed here for them, and how might it be effective?
So many of the Asian clients going global, it's very important that in whichever country you are providing the service, that we need to understand how the headquarter is thinking and how the headquarter organization is set, and also how headquarter strategy is being set. And many times, because these Asian clients and Asian corporations, they are relatively new in going global, that they do seek for more strategic partnership. And that's obviously an area that where communication firms like us need to tap into more proactively. So that's the big observation. And second point will be, after the strategy and the planning takes in, the execution, the level of execution that needs to go across all the local markets actually are, again, another area where a lot of local tactics and local execution, and also being able to discuss all the understanding of the local environment, is critical. So bringing all these Asian clients global for the past decade or so, we've actually, as a network, have built that where many firms, we do not believe, actually have actual execution experience. as long as what we have been doing.
So for in terms of headline media pushbacks, I mean, for example, when you talk about Huawei, Huawei is front and center of the U.S. trade war that's happening between the Americans and the Chinese. And it has a lot to do with the intellectual property, purportedly or otherwise, infringements by Huawei. How would you position the business to have a positive lens in this part of the world?
Whether it's Huawei or whether it's any other corporation, I think what I can speak is we are a lot of the corporations are now in a situation where corporate reputation is at the core of their business, and it's being seen extremely important. So it's not just the Huawei; it's about just about every corporation.
So taking the Huawei example as one, HS, how would you massage their reputation, knowing full well that they're the front and center of the trade dispute between the Americans and the Chinese?
So obviously, we're in a communication firm, so we do not provide solutions to any business decisions which needs to be made more at the top level. So. When it comes to Huawei, obviously they are making their statements and they're being more transparent, and they're also speaking out more publicly than before, which is, I believe, in this situation, a direction that they have decided to take.
Yeah, so transparency of the Chinese corporations has been an issue in the past. How do you navigate those difficulties with your clients when intrinsically they don't want to be as transparent as they should be?
I think it's not about transparency. I think it's more about being able to narrow down to a key message or single point of communication, because a lot of the Asian clients actually have organizations that is quite huge, should we say, and it's obviously at many times not very much centralized. So it's not only about transparency. It's more about that. Plus, the experience of being able to be publicly speaking is not really, they don't really have much experience in that. And that's why it requires firms like us to be able to provide them the reassurance and the understanding of why that's needed and why it's important to be speaking to the public in a timely manner. So,
is that an operational challenge for PR practitioners like yourselves, when your companies, when your clients, come from a region which is built a reputation for being highly opaque and not visible in terms of their not just in terms of their thinking, but in terms of their maneuvers as well? How much of that does that become an issue for yourselves going forward?
It's actually not, because when there is a reputation-related discussions or related trainings, or whether be it related meetings, many times it does involve more the high-level executives. So in terms of understanding what the company is wanting to go and, messages that they want to portray across the public, oftentimes more than any other discipline agencies, like, for example, advertising or digital agencies or so forth, I think public relations has more opportunity to be actually in the seat of being able to access the C-suites. So, if you're talking about challenge, we actually do not find that much difficult.
I'm talking this morning to H.S. Chung, the cluster lead for Hill & Knowlton Strategies in Asia. After this, H.S., we're going to be talking about what you deem the so-called golden triangle of Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, as well as operational challenges in each of your countries going forward. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, I'm talking to H.S. Chung, the cluster lead for Hill & Knowlton Strategies in Asia. Now, H.S., when you describe Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia as the golden triangle for, say, Chinese corporations or Korean corporations expanding to the region, how granular can you get in terms of your strategy where disseminating your clients' messages are across three essentially very disparate countries of Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia?
I think a lot of the Asian clients, particularly Chinese, Korean, and also Japanese clients, are looking at ASEAN market in a much more different way than before. And a lot of that is obviously, as you've mentioned before, it's due to a lot of the political, economic trade wars and political situations that's happening around the world. So they are seeing ASEAN as being a bit more neutral and a market that actually has the growth opportunity. So having said that, first thing they would think about is looking at where would be the central area where they need to function the hub or function a central headquarter function. And, you know, as I say in the Golden Triangle, Malaysia, Singapore, and Indonesia, obviously this is the key area where we feel most of these Asian clients actually look into, primarily because of, number one, language capability issues. And also secondly on the diversity of the talent that they require. And also from, you know, from the so-called golden triangle that I've mentioned about, from that, they would also want to expand into the other ASEAN countries. And many times they cannot look at every country by country because a lot of the Asian countries are very centralized to headquarters. So meaning headquarters cannot function to be looking into every country. So they do need in ASEAN some sort of another regional central location.
But in terms of your traditional distribution methods of comms, the newspapers and the televisions of this world, those appear to be diminishing going forward. How do you plan to deploy new media strategies and basically what gives you the intel to do that efficiently?
Yes, I mean, ASEAN is obviously quite tech-savvy and also the internet penetration is quite high. So I think it's not a question of how we're going to do it. I mean, we are living it. But what is very important is before going to thinking about which channel or whether be it traditional, whether be it digital, that we're going to deploy our communication, more important would be the message and the purpose of the actual corporate or the brand information that needs to be delivered. So a lot of Asian corporations tend to be a lot more product focused because they feel they just need to communicate what the product is about and the benefit the product has, the pricings and all this type of technical information. But what the public now really is looking for is what is the brand delivering in terms of the value and what would as a customer or what would as the consumer would actually benefit from it. So there's a bit of challenge when actually consulting the Asian corporations about messages, for example, that could be actually more effective. And it's not just about ASEAN specific. This is actually around the world.
Well, that's right. So corporate messaging in the past used to be very, in fact, sometimes highly disingenuous in terms of what it stood for. But now with the prospect of the internet and the kind of like a nakedness that comes along with social media, big companies and big brands need to show as well that they are as concerned about privacy and data security as they are about 5G and ongoing technologies. How do you convince your clients to be as transparent as they should be and to basically lay bare their motivations for doing so?
Well, obviously, I mean, to be a global operation, it is something that they also are very keen. So many times it's a conversation that we don't really need to be having because it's in, they already know and they know they need to do that. So the level of sophistication of the Asian corporations now going global, it actually has elevated. And I really feel it's, you know, it's also a trial and error and a process and it does take time, but they've come a long way.
Okay, so specifically, which of your clients right now do you think have the strongest proposition in ASEAN going forward?
We feel, obviously, it's the Chinese clients has a lot of potential because particularly with, you know, the trade war they have in with the U.S. and so forth, that they are seeing ASEAN as more of an important market than before. So that would be a focus, particularly for the ASEAN markets. Also for many of the companies in Korea. Korea is all about export business. Our economy is very dependent on export business. And so all the conglomerates are looking at doing business overseas, which means also communicating overseas. And that's becoming another area that can become a very important source of information for business in our ASEAN strategy as well. Japanese corporations are also seeking the global access as well. So this is actually a trend that we are seeing more and more.
It's also no secret that budgets are being constricted around the world because of where the economies are. Can you shed some light in terms of how willing or how not willing Chinese corporations are to pay for fees and relative to the Western counterparts, for example?
I think everyone's talking about budget squeeze and cost controls with marketing budgets and so forth. And, you know, over the past, I would even say personally, and over the past, I would say 10 years, every year, this discussion always comes up. There's going to be more cut on marketing budgets. There's going to be more cut on budgets around the world. So it's not new, is what I'm basically saying. But what is important is the fact that corporations will no longer be spending money on things that they do not feel is not valuable to their business. So very important to understand PR firms, the core of our business is, again, building, protecting, and even recovering the reputation of the brand and the products or even corporations, that it's we feel it's very it's a valuable business strategy that a lot of the corporations, not just Chinese, not just Korean, not just Japanese, but most of the corporations around the world would actually put more value into putting budget, particularly into the PR side of things.
This morning on The Grill, I'm talking to H.S. Chung, the cluster lead for Hill & Knowlton Strategies in Asia. Now, shed some light also operationally where it comes to dealing with a Chinese corporation or the Japanese or the Korean corporation versus the Western, or be it English, British or American corporation. How difficult or how easy is it to deal with a Chinese management team, for example, and how loyal are they to their PR companies, or if at all?
There are a couple of characteristics of, I wouldn't say just Chinese, but Asian clients going global. One is, it is very headquarter central. So in other words, headquarter is where a lot of the decisions are made, whether be it operational, whether be it strategy. So therefore, it's very important to be able to function to service the headquarter to the best of their needs. That is one observation that we actually have been made. Second point would be they tend to require a lot of support when it comes to actual execution as well. So the scale of the team is actually proven to be quite important. And this is one of the reasons why we have actually integrated with Lumos PR in Malaysia, where we actually doubled the size of our office, because we need to be able to service the scalable team to the Chinese clients. So that's the second point. And thirdly, they do require the language. In other words, they prefer the Chinese language capability as an important, and also Koreans as well, and Japanese. So language component is also an important part.
Well, the nature of the PR business is that it's essentially a people organization, very few factories, in fact, no factories, no technology, no digital, purely people and people servicing corporations. It's an oft-quoted refrain among comms companies that there's not enough people to go around, and those that are good enough are paid, to astronomical levels. How do you at Hill & Knowlton address that issue, and how much of that can you automate, if at all?
Well, in fact, this is not just a PR firm or the PR industry issue, but I believe it's actually a issue for around the world. More and more, it's all about hiring the right people and being able to train the right capabilities. So likewise, in our situation, we are becoming a bit more less siloed into market by market, where, again, the ASEAN strategy for Hill & Knowlton strategy is being more integrated across offices, where we are sharing manpower and sharing capacity and also sharing capabilities. So, for example, while in Malaysia, to function as an ASEAN hub for, let's say, Chinese client, it would be very important to be able to have the language capability of the Chinese language capability and the scalable size of the on-ground support team who's able to communicate well with the hub function. But when it comes to actual, let's say, campaign execution to creative execution, definitely we can do that and build that in Malaysia. But it can also make sense to be partnering with Singapore, for example. And then also when it comes to actual studio functions or anything that actually would require a little bit of less cost would be more towards Indonesia, for example. So again, it's no longer about just one country servicing at full capacity. It's more about being able to be agile and flexible and share teams and share capabilities. And that's the model that we are pursuing in ASEAN.
And how sticky are retainers, HS? You know, how easy or how not easy are they to shift from PR company to PR company? Because obviously there are many international agencies other than Hill & Knowlton, whether it's a Leo Burnett or whether it's a Saatchi & Saatchi.
Yes. So obviously competition is always going to be there, and it always has been. And in fact, competition is something that we just have to live with. And to change from one agency to another agency, it's not a decision of the agency, but it's obviously a decision of the client. And I believe as long as we can prove that we provide the value and is proving to provide solution to some of their business challenges, the decisions actually come along. So that's the focal point. So instead of thinking competition or looking at, oh, do we need retainer transfer here and there, we will be more focusing on looking at what is the value that the client is searching for and what is the solution that we need to provide to be able to diminish some of their business solutions.
All right, HS, thank you so much for your time. I was talking to HS Chung, the cluster lead for Hill & Knowlton Strategies in Asia, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.